Unforgiveness will block God's miracles in your life.
Dr. Tony Evans says there's an important link between being forgiven and being forgiving.
If you don't do unilateral forgiveness, then you'll stay hostage to something that can never be fixed.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. None of us have what it takes on our own to measure up to God's standards. But Dr. Evans says that's not the end of the story. And today he tells us how the Lord makes up the difference for us, if we let Him. Let's join him now as he examines this important truth drawn from the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6.
At this point in the Lord's Prayer, he says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." After talking about hallowing His name, submitting to His kingdom and yielding to His will, and having gotten the provisions of God, he says, "Now, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." So the question that we have to ask is, what does the word forgive mean? Because a false definition will lead you to a false conclusion. Forgiveness is first and foremost a decision. Forgiveness is not first and foremost how you feel. While it does not ignore how you feel, it is not the definition of forgiveness. You decide to forgive or not forgive. Your emotions have to catch up with that decision. It is a decision to relieve a person from an obligation or a debt incurred by a sin or an infraction against you. When you decide to do that, regardless of where your emotions may be at a certain given time, you're operating on the biblical definition of forgiveness. In the prayer, it said, "Forgive us our debt." Why? When we sin against God, we incur a bill. That bill must be paid. The first part of the prayer says, "Forgive us our debt," or "cancel our bill." So forgiveness means that God cancels out the thing that's breaking up the intimacy that He wants to have with you. Forgive us our debts, an infraction incurred because of what was done to you or me or us, or as I'll say in a moment, what you've even done to yourself. I want to first talk to you about two categories. First is unilateral forgiveness. Unilateral forgiveness is forgiveness that you grant even when the person hasn't asked for it. Why would you give unilateral forgiveness? Nobody said, "I'm sorry." Nobody's repented. And you forgive anyway. Unilateral. You just do it on your own. Unilateral forgiveness is given, one, because the issue is so small. In other words, it didn't matter. They did wrong, but you don't care because it didn't hurt you that much. And it's something you can forget. So you don't even care if they say, "I'm sorry," if they repent. So that's unilateral because it's so small. Another reason you would do unilateral forgiveness is the person refuses to say, "I'm sorry," refuses to confess, refuses to repent. They say, "I ain't gonna repent. No, I'm kind of glad I hurt you. I'm glad I did it." So they're refusing. Another one is they can't repent because they've died. They hurt you when years ago. They've since passed on, so they can't make amends. Even if they wanted to, they can't because they're not here. Or maybe you don't even know where they are anymore. So even though you're still hurting for it, they've moved away, they've gone somewhere, so they can't repent. If you don't do unilateral forgiveness, then you'll stay hostage to something that can never be fixed because they've died, they've gone, or they're never going to say, "I'm sorry." Unilateral forgiveness is to set you free. It's to forgive what happened even when the person is not sorry about what happened because you don't want to be held hostage by what happened. So it sets you free. The second kind of forgiveness, when it comes to the categories, is transactional forgiveness. Unilateral is where you forgive even if there is no opportunity for apologies and confession and repentance. Transactional forgiveness is different. This is where a person repents of what they did to you. They come and they confess it first. I'm sorry for what I did. That's confession. Confession is, I agree that I did you wrong. Repentance takes confession to the next step. Repentance is the decision to make it right. Okay? So, I confess what you said I did, and it was wrong. Then, repentance is, I want to turn from doing it, and I want to make restitution. I want to make it right. Whatever kind of right is possible to be made, I want to do it. The Bible calls that fruit of repentance. In other words, how do you know if a person's truly repented? Because their words don't mean anything. They can say, I'm sorry, and not mean it. How do you know that the confession was real? You know the confession was real when there is visible, there are visible acts of repentance. That is, trying to make it right at whatever level is possible to correct it. The reason for transactional forgiveness is because that opens the door for a restoration of the relationship. The relationship can now be restored because repentance has been requested and forgiveness has been granted, opening up the opportunity for reconciliation. In unilateral forgiveness, you can forgive, but there is no reconciliation. With transactional forgiveness, you forgive and the goal is to try to reconcile and you heal the breach that caused the problem. When a couple is fighting and one says, well, you did this to me, and they say, you're right. How do I make it right? What visible thing can I do to show you I'm serious? The whole goal of that is to heal a broken relationship. In unilateral, they're not sorry, so you can't heal that relationship. You may not be able to stop the divorce because they're not sorry, but you can still go on with your life because you're not going to let them dent your soul for the rest of your life. That's transactional forgiveness. That's the forgiveness that seeks to build a bridge to a relationship. When the prodigal son saw that he had left his father, Luke 15, he had left his father. He was now in the pig pen. He said, I have sinned. That's confession. But then he got up out the pig pen and he came back home and he said, make me as one of your servants. In other words, he talked a good game in the pen. I'm sorry. But when he got up out of that pen, made his way back home, notice his father didn't go to get him. He had to come back to his father. But when he came back to his father canceled the debt and restored him to the relationship of father and son. You and I witnessed transactional forgiveness in the Amber Geiger case. When you saw her justly condemned for the act of killing an innocent person, she was given a judgment of 10 years. But his relative on the stand asked the judge for permission to leave the stand and embrace her. Because on the stand, she confessed that she had done it, and a judicial judgment for what she had done had been granted, 10 years in jail. But because there was the statement of repentance and there is going to be fruit of action imposed on her, certainly by the court, he asked for the opportunity to restore a relationship. He got up off the bench, walked over, the judge granted her the opportunity, and they embraced themselves for an extended period of time saying, even though you hurt me by what you did, I forgive you and I'm willing to restore what can be restored. It didn't cancel the sentence, but it opened up the opportunity for restoration. But on top of that, the judge gets up And the judge comes down. And the judge embraces her. And the judge gives her a Bible. And the judge restores, the same judge who condemned her, hugged her, and restored her. Because when you repent, it doesn't mean there are no consequences, but it does mean while we work out 10 years of consequence, we're gonna build a bridge to restore a relationship. That's what transactional forgiveness does. It seeks to bring about healing due to the expression of repentance. So, forgiveness, canceling a debt. It's legal when you accept Christ. It's relational when you confess your sin to Jesus Christ and repent of your wrong direction and get back in fellowship with God.
But Dr. Evans will tell us about an important prerequisite for our forgiveness when he continues this look at the pardon of prayer in just a moment. First, though, a quick reminder that you can get today's message to review again and study at your own pace as a part of Tony's current series, The Lord's Prayer, available on CD or digital download. This 8-part collection focuses on how to make your prayers more like the model Jesus gave us, so they'll become more effective, more intimate, and more about God's agenda than your own. Just visit TonyEvans.org, make a contribution, and we'll say thanks by sending you full-length copies of all the messages in the Lord's Prayer series, including material we won't have time to share here on the air. And as a special bonus, we'll also include a copy of Tony's powerful book, God is More Than Enough. Centered on Psalm 23, Dr. Evans explores how David's timeless masterpiece goes beyond a good read and teaches us the secret to finding a happy life by looking for fulfillment and provision in God alone. Visit TonyEvans.org right away to get the details and make a donation, or call 1-800-800-3222. Where members of our resource team are ready 24 hours a day to help you. That's 1-800-800-3222 or online at TonyEvans.org. Dr. Evans will come back with more of today's lesson right after this.
Today our atmosphere is being contaminated by a sense of selfishness. It is in kindness that we are not destroyed.
Join Tony Evans in his Kindness in the Culture campaign to set a new standard for our nation. Take part by doing a practical act of kindness for someone each week. Then pray with them and share the gospel with them through our convenient kindness cards. Visit TonyEvans.org to learn more. Be kind. Change culture.
He expects his people to be ambassadors of kindness. Nice can be your persona. Nice can be your personality. Kindness is your action.
And now let's return to our message. Here's Dr. Evans.
Okay, you don't want to miss this because everything I have said is contingent on or determined by what I'm getting ready to say. Let's reread the verse. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Let me read chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father, because you're already a Christian, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father, because you're already a Christian, will not forgive your transgressions. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus is telling the story, and he says, in verse 20 to 26, he says, have faith in God. And when you have faith in God, he says, you can move mountains. A mountain in the Bible is an unovercomable situation. Situation you can't fix. It's called a mountain in the Bible. And God says, you can speak to the mountain and it'll go into the sea if you have faith in God. But what a lot of people don't do is read the whole passage. Because after he says you can remove mountains, the only way God will help you move a mountain, he says, is if I see you forgiving. If you don't forgive, you won't be able to get rid of your mountain, get rid of that addiction, heal that relationship, solve that emotional problem, because you're living in unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will block God's miracles in your life. So if you need a miracle in your life, forgiveness is a condition of that miracle. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11 says, it is to a man's glory to overlook a fault. That when a man overlooks a fault, God is able to shine his glory on that man. You say, but I can't feel it. I can't get my emotions up to forgive. Oh, remember, forgiveness is not your emotions. It's your decisions. What happens is we let our emotions cancel our decision. The decision is, I have decided to forgive. How do I know I've decided? Because I'm not going to throw it up in your face. I'm not going to bring it up again. I'm not going to use it as a battering ram. I may not control how I feel, but I control what I do or say. Joseph forgave his brothers to save a nation. He said, God brought me here. He used your mess to save a whole nation. Nelson Mandela, in prison for over 27 years, because of the evil of apartheid in Africa. In prison for 27 years? It's not fair. It's not fair. Apartheid was a crime. Apartheid is the evil. But he got out of prison and decided to forgive the people who imprisoned him. He used a soccer game to bring black and whites together. And all of a sudden, he becomes president. Apartheid collapses. There's now one vote for every person, all because a man decided, rather than retaliate, I choose to forgive. There will be no healing unless there is sincere repentance coupled by authentic forgiveness. If you keep going back to slavery to make your point, if you keep going back to Jim Crow to make your point, I'm not talking about if it's happening today, but if you keep reaching back there is real and back there painful, and what our grandparents and great-grandparents went through was horrific. But as long as you go back there, there'll be no restoration here. Yes, there must be repentance on this side, but there must be forgiveness over here, or there will be no reconciliation, even in the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm just using that to bring history to make a point now. No, as long as you do that, you just block God from doing his supernatural work. Not because it's not real. And if it's present currently, it should be addressed currently. But because God wants to heal, and he will not heal if there's unforgiveness, because he went to the cross for forgiveness. Some of the forgiveness we need is not toward another person, is toward ourselves. If I hadn't done that, if I hadn't gone there, if I hadn't been with them, if I hadn't, Jesus says in Matthew 22, he says, what I want you to do is I want you to love your neighbor like you love yourself. Okay, that's what he said. When it comes to forgiveness, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:5, love keeps no record. Love doesn't keep a record. So if he wants you to love your neighbor, that means you don't keep a record when you forgive him, like you love yourself, which God doesn't even want you keeping a record on you. Oh, learn from what you did, but he does not want you continue going back there in your mind, in your thoughts, and in your lifestyle. Oh, if I hadn't, okay, you did. That's a reality. Now you must decide, yes, I'm not going to go back there anymore. God, I've repented for you. You've canceled it. So how can I be bigger than God holding on to something he canceled? He says, if you repented, I canceled it. Then you must let it go by a decision. And every time the devil brings it up to your mind, you must inform him that that has already been dealt with on the cross. I've learned from it, but I'm not going back there. Her name was Sally. Her brother was John. Sally and John went to their grandfather's house. Grandfather had a little lake out in the back, little pond more, with ducks in it. John loved to play with his slingshot. John took a stone in his slingshot and pointed at one of the ducks. Let it go, and the stone hit the duck in the head, killed it. He looked around, didn't see anybody, grabbed the duck and buried it in the woods. He went back to the house like nothing happened. His sister came over named Sally, and Sally said, hey, John, I saw you kill the duck. I saw you take the duck in the wood to bury it. So I just want you to know, I saw what you did. Grandmother was cooking the meal for the family, and Grandma said, Sally, come over here and help me with the meal. Sally said, oh, Grandma, John said he wanted to help you. Remember the duck. After dinner, Grandma said, Sally, come help me clean the dishes. Sally said, Grandma, I don't know why, but John keeps telling me he wants to do the dishes. John, you remember the duck. Sally, I want you to vacuum the floor. I don't know why. John keep insisting on vacuuming the floor, Grandma. John, you remember the duck. A few minutes later, Granddaddy came over to John. Granddaddy said, now, John, I saw you kill the duck. I saw you take the duck in the woods to bury the duck. But I didn't say anything because I wanted to see how long you were going to let Sally hold you hostage. The question on the floor is, how long are you going to let the past hold you hostage? How long are you going to let the devil hold you hostage? You are to be set free, but in a righteous way, by acknowledging to God, forgive me my debts on a regular basis to the degree that I let others off the hook, either unilaterally or transactionally. Lord, I'm going to move forward with my life because I'm tired of blocking your grace and your mercy from me through my unforgiveness, even if it's my unforgiveness of myself.
Dr. Evans will come back to lead us in a brief time of personal introspection in just a moment. First, though, if you'd like to get a copy of today's lesson to review again or share with someone else, the title to ask about is The Pardon of Prayer. But it also comes bundled with 7 other messages in Tony's current teaching series, The Lord's Prayer. And we're packaging this entire collection on CDs or digital downloads, along with his popular book, God is More Than Enough. They're all available to you as our thank you gift when you support Tony's ministry with a contribution to keep his messages coming to this station each day. You can get all the information on this special offer, make your donation online, and instantly download the messages in this series at tonyevans.org or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222. Our resource center is open 24/7, so there's no need to wait. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222 or online at tonyevans.org. We often pray to God to help us get out of difficult situations or circumstances. But tomorrow, Dr. Evans will talk about the kind of prayer that can help us avoid them altogether. But right now, he's back to close our time together today with this.
So now is a sacred moment. If you have any area of forgiveness, we're going to set you free right now. Any area of forgiveness, forgiving yourself, forgiving somebody else, and let me throw another one out here. Even if you're mad at God. Now, you can't forgive God because he never sinned, but you can confess the fact that you need to be forgiven for your anger at God. Because some people, when life goes wrong, they wind up cursing God. So whether it's yourself, somebody else, or even your attitude toward God, if there's any area of forgiveness that you need to deal with, if you're a couple and you're this mountain of a relationship that won't budge because somebody hadn't forgiven somebody, I want you to write down very short, I need to forgive blank for, and just put in a short phrase what it's for. Nobody's going to see this but you, so don't worry about that. I need to forgive blank, whoever that person is, if it's yourself, whatever it is, for, and whatever the thing is. It may be more than one thing, but nobody's going to know about this but you. I need to forgive blank for. Because we want to set you free and we want to get God back in the same room with you. So the prayers are being answered. Mountains are being moved. So that he can forgive you because you're now a forgiving person. In spite of how your emotions feel. I forgive blank for whatever it is.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.